Hello and welcome to a Cardiff podcast special. My name's Alistair Love. Yeah, special. How good is that? Why is it special? Well, I was lucky enough to pinch a sneak preview of the launch of Animateen, a celebration of British animation which is taking place during the Cardiff Animation Festival that starts tomorrow, the 19th of April, at the ever-excellent Chapter in Canton. I first caught up with Mike Mort, an award-winning animator from Bridgend, whose creation Chuck Steele is about to fight evil in The Night of the Trampires, and won't be for the faint-hearted, judging by the set he is exhibiting as part of Animateen. It sounded a lot like this.
Mike, thank you so much for speaking to me. We're just outside Chapter at the moment as the Animateen Festival kicks off. I believe it's starting on the 19th of April for four nights. Mike, just explain a little bit about your film.
Well, Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires is a stop-motion action horror comedy. It's taken 3.5 years to make. It's basically a sort of slam bang action movie made in with plasticine puppets that are about 13 inches tall. But we've tried to make it as genuinely like an action film as we can. So it's lit and it has a pace of an 80s action movie. So Chuck Steele is an 80s action hero. And are based on those types of tropes and films that I grew up with. But it was a character that I came up with very early on in my life when I was about 15. So it's something I've revisited over my career as an animator and director.
Sounds like it's had a long ingestion period, right.
Okay. Yeah.
I tell you what, Mike, as we're outside and we've got an exhibition of the film, so should we have a walk in and have a look?
Yeah.
And then you can explain? Because it's very, very striking for those who can't see it and want to pop along. It is actually a very, very striking set. So we might get in the way of people, but I do apologise for that.
So Mike,
what have we got here?
So this is a Dracula's Castle set, which was in the film. It's featured in a flashback sequence, which is all done in black and white, like a Universal monster movie. It's a very short scene, but it's quite an elaborate set. It's actually
very elaborate.
It's actually probably only in this film for maybe four or five shots. So there's a lot of work that goes into the detail for something that sometimes passes very quickly, but that's the production level we wanted was high, you know. So
actually that's what really strikes me, because you call this stop, for the uninitiated, is it stop motion?
Yeah.
So obviously there are many, many layers to animation, and stop motion is a key part of that.
Yeah, stop motion is quite probably more popular now than it's been ever, because there's more and more feature films being done with that medium. You've got Isle of Dogs and Early Man. I mean, Aardman have been making stop motion films for years. You've got Leica in America making films like Kubo, and we're basically trying to, as an independent film, we're trying to compete with those major studios, and you know we feel like we've got pretty close, really.
Yeah, and as I say, it's a very, very striking set. As I say, we're right outside the Dracula's Castle, I suppose, isn't it? It's Dracula's Castle, and this appears for a few seconds in the film, but it's a very elaborate set. I hope you can recycle it, frankly. But
we'll make use of it. Yeah, we've already got plans for spin-offs.
So. Good to hear. So what else have we got, Mike?
This is a bar scene. So
just for the listener, it's a very elaborate and detailed bar with a pool table, and none of the characters seem to have any heads.
No, we're just setting up for the exhibition at the moment. So all the puppets in the film have detachable heads and hands, because they're plasticine heads. They have to be, you have to sculpt them as you go and clean them up and keep them, you know, for the faces to move, the animator has to take the head off and re-sculpt and then put it back on and then take a photograph. So all of them are detachable, and currently we're just still setting up, but everything in this set had to be handmade. Like all the bottles were blown from like a real glass bottle, all those miniatures, and all the practical lighting, the LEDs everywhere to bring the bar alive, really.
It is an absolutely extraordinary level of detail, down to a folded newspaper on the bar, I can see there. It is absolutely remarkable. So it really, really does shine a light into how long a process it must be.
Yeah, we moved into the studio in Bridgend. We found a building, we moved in, we set it up, and that was in 2014. So we've been making the film since then. Obviously, we were setting up. That took us a while. But the actual completion of the film's probably taken about 3 years from start to finish. And we built everything in-house as well.
And what influenced you to sort of go about making stop-motion films in this manner?
I mean, I've been in this industry for about 25 years, or I think it's about that long now. And I used to make films as a kid. I went to college to do stop motion, and then I had a career in, I did a TV series called The Gogs years ago. And then I've been doing lots of commercials since, so, but I've always dreamt about getting this film off the ground because it's based on a character I came up with when I was very young. So it's been something that's just been niggling away at me to get done. And I finally got a break with it, so we got to the end of it.
Oh, congratulations, Mike. It's a very, very striking set here. So, again, as you're setting up, you're not going to trip over that. So you've got a doctor's reception here. You've got that's an American school bus, isn't it? And the size actually surprises me. It's much larger than I would have expected.
Yeah, we use a number of scales. So you've got this scale, which is a 1/6 scale, and that's the majority of the film is made with models that big. But then for big wide shots, and we have a car chase in the film, so we then go down to a more miniature scale, which is about more like 1/18. And a lot of these are, all the practical lights are sort of added by our spark and kind of, yeah. That was key to the film, is getting the light to look like an old 80s film, which is like, there was just spotlights and sirens and, flashlights everywhere, yeah. That was key to the look of the film, really.
And obviously now over here we've got some pretty horrific looking figures. It looks like the video to Thriller to me, but you'll probably tell me off on that. But if you want to
See the way why you might say that. But these are all the trampires. So the trampires are basically vampires, but they're alcoholic trampires. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
So they basically only attack people who've got alcohol in their blood. And that's why they look so messed up.
I've looked a bit like that on some Sunday mornings, I have to say. I mean, so does the film... Is the film meant to appeal to all ages? Is that the idea? Because there's obviously a comic, dark...
No, it's very it's very gory. It's extremely gory.
Oh, right.
So it'll be a 15,
right.
Probably.
Yeah.
I hope it won't go to an 18, but I think it'll be a 15. Yeah. There's a lot of swearing in it. It's aimed at adults.
Yeah.
But teenagers are going to like it.
I know a few teenagers that'd be right up their street.
Yeah.
So obviously, when can people expect to see the film then, the finished item?
Well, we only finished it properly about 3 months ago, 2.5-3 months. You know, with all the sound and music and everything. So it's probably unlikely to be released until later in the year. We're aiming for hopefully a Halloween release, you know, because it'll tie in with the film really well, so it'll be about then, I think.
And obviously, you know, as you said, it's very gory, but is there a comic edge to it?
It's very stupid. It's a ridiculous film, full of action, full of comedy and silliness. A few things that probably might offend a few people, but it's meant to just be a fun ride. It is, you know, and it's not, there's nothing disturbing in it, it's just ridiculous. But we tried to make it as full on as an 80s action horror film as we could, and that's why we wanted all of these characters to look like different creatures, you know.
And obviously anyone coming in this weekend to the festival can have a wander around. This exhibition is permanent over the weekend.
It's here for 4 days, so you'll be able to wander around and see all the puppets and the majority of the main cast and vehicles and everything.
So obviously, you know, I would heartily recommend anyone to come down and have a look, because it's very, very striking and actually a fascinating insight into how stop-motion films are made. Mike, thank you so much. And sorry again, will people be able to see the film here this weekend, or is it more...
The film's not being screened here, but we are showing a clip from the film,
right,
as well as some earlier Chuck Steele short films that have led to this point. So the earliest one is when I was 16, then there's a college film when I was in my 20s, so it's the progression of how it's reached this point. And there's a bit of a Q&A afterwards then. So.
Fantastic. And just finally then, Mike, just tell us a little bit about Chuck Steele himself.
Well, if you remember the 80s and the action heroes that were there, you know, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon films and all of that, probably Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead. And he's an amalgamation of all those kind of those archetypes of 80s action heroes, which went away for a while, but they're sort of coming back a bit more now with people like The Rock and things like that. But he's probably just an amalgamation of all the films I loved growing up, and a little bit of an alter ego in there, but I don't like to admit to that.
Yeah, no, you probably shouldn't.
No.
But Mike, listen, thank you so much for speaking to me, and good luck with the film. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Big thanks to Mike, but I think he quickly rumbled that I wasn't perhaps that au fait with the stop-motion animation genre. But he battled on gamely, fair play. It was actually difficult to do the set justice too, but I was amazed by the detail, and everyone who's going to Chapter should take a look. It really is superb. I then had a chat with Lauren Orme, also an animator and the director of the Cardiff Animation Festival, about how the Animation Festival came about and what we can expect this weekend. It's clear the festival is for everyone, and it sounded very much like this. Right, I'm here with Lauren Orme, who's the director of Cardiff Animation Festival and an independent animator in her own right. So thanks for joining the Cardiff podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That's fantastic. Can you just tell us a bit about how the Cardiff Animation Festival came about?
Yeah, so I have been to animation festivals and think they're amazing. As I'm an animator, so it's so great to see, particularly like animated short films, you can get so much inspiration from them. And even for non-animators, it's just so great seeing such varied work and stuff. So I've really wanted there to be a festival in Cardiff for ages. So I've been running various different animation events for about 3.5 years, building up to the festival finally happening this year, and the team's grown and grown through meeting each other through those events, so now there's 6 of us running it together.
So my impression is animation's having a real moment, would that be fair to say, or would you say, well, come on, it's been, you know, it's been at the top for years and years?
I definitely feel like it's having a moment, but I don't know if that's just because I run an animation festival.
Right.
I think I have a skewed view.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely feel like it's having a moment. It's amazing all the stuff that's going on, particularly with Chapter, who are running this nationwide anime teen season across the UK now, starting with our festival this weekend, and that's running until November, and they're talking about all the stuff that they're going to do even after that, so it feels like animation is getting a lot of recognition at the moment, which is great.
So for sort of punters who are hanging around this weekend wondering what to do, what can we expect from the festival?
There's loads on for all different people, so there's loads of stuff for adults, loads of stuff for kids. We're showing loads of animated short films because I think they're amazing. We've got themed programmes, so there's a programme which is just for grown-ups only. It's like an 18-plus programme with darker, weirder stuff in there. Then there's one called One Way Ticket, which is sort of stuff from all around the world, stories from different cultures, giving you a window into other people's worlds, which is great. As well as that, we're showing Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson's new film. Yeah. We're showing The Breadwinner, the new Cartoon Saloon Oscar-nominated feature, which isn't out yet in the UK. We're showing it ahead of its UK release. And we've got masterclasses with people who've made those films as well, so you can see sort of behind the scenes, how it was all made, the painstaking process
That's
of animation.
Having just been in with Mike, looking at his film set, the stop motion, he had to correct me, because I called it stock motion, it's stop motion. But it really is painstaking, isn't it?
It takes a lot of work, but that's why it's such a special thing.
I mean, what is your specialism then?
I kind of do bits and bobs, mixed media, quite a lot of drawing, but I'm branching out into different things at the moment. I've got friends that are working on the festival teaching me different animation styles that I'm using in a film that I'm supposed to be making right now if I wasn't running a festival.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm quite intrigued by the whole masterclass thing, so if someone has, you know, even a passing interest in getting involved, how often are the masterclasses on, and what do they show people?
So we've got 4 or 5 things that I would describe as masterclasses throughout the weekend, although they've called various different things, and there's Q&As and stuff as well. So it's really different depending who's there. So I'd say like the one for The Breadwinner is so in-depth. I've seen it at another festival. It's amazing. It's completely like start to finish how they made this film, which is a story set in Afghanistan during Taliban rule. So they go into sort of how they built that world, which was not allowed to be recorded at the time. So it's a really interesting story of the making of the film, as well as the film story being really interesting. And Angelina Jolie was really involved in making that happen because she had quite a big role there in that time. But then the Making Isle of Dogs one will be very different. That's a panel of 3 different people who worked on the film.
You're going to tell me Wes Anderson's here.
Wes Anderson might be making... Wes Anderson's not making it. No, but we've got a model maker who is bringing actually a very special puppet. This is exclusive. No one else knows about this yet.
Fantastic,
potentially a very cool puppet coming.
Right.
From
the
film.
I don't know why I'm keeping my voice down.
And then we have one of the key animators from the film, and then we also have Kerry Dyer, who's head of Puppet Hospital, which is a cool thing that every stop motion film needs, which is where the puppets go to get repaired and stuff. So that's just another story behind the film. So they'll be
sharing
stuff.
Literally, all ages are catered for, it strikes me, in this festival. So yeah. It really is, it's almost like a family affair, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's some stuff which will be really adults only, but then there's we're doing a Hey Dougie show and tell. So Hey Dougie's like a really popular preschool show, which is so gorgeous and really well made, but also really progressive and just a really great, interesting, funny, brilliant show. So that will be for all ages, really, and really family focused. And we've got a shorts program which is specifically for sort of 3 to 7 year olds as well. Yeah. So we're trying to indoctrinate the kids early in the animated short film.
Absolutely. Now, I'm guessing you would have piqued some listeners' interest. Now, what do they need to do if they want to get involved?
So tickets are selling out like quite fast, so they should probably buy them soon. And they can get them from our website, which is cardiffanimation.com. They can also get them from Chapter, which is our main venue. Almost all of the festival's happening at Chapter.
Yeah.
If they have missed tickets, then there's still some stuff they can come to. We're doing a free launch party in Kong's, which is Cardiff Animation Nights, which is a regular bi-monthly event that we run. So we've tied that into the festival so that international filmmakers will have a chance to go, as well as the normal Cardiff crowd. So that should be good.
So finally, Lauren, I know you've got to get on. How important is it to showcase new talent in terms of animation?
So important. I think there's not enough platforms for animated short filmmakers. It's so difficult to get an animated feature film off the ground. You have to be so established to make that happen. So really, the platform for short filmmakers is showing... Well, for animated filmmakers, is showing their shorts. So I think it's just really important to show those, and that's what we've been trying to do for years now. And the festival is just a new extension of that, and we hope it will grow and grow.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I hope it goes really, really well. And thanks for taking time out to speak to the Cardiff podcast. Brilliant.
Thanks for talking to me.
I finished my very enjoyable jaunt to Chapter with a chat with Hannah Lewis of Film Hub Wales, who helped organise Animateen. She gave me an overview of what Animateen is all about and how Animateen is rolling out across the UK in the coming months, celebrating our animation heritage and capitalising on the art form, having a real moment right now to attract new audiences. I even mentioned rhubarb and custard, so apologies for that, but it does sound an awful lot like this.
Right, Hannah, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to the Cardiff podcast. Really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
What can we expect at Chapter this weekend, but also from Animateen, you know, throughout the year?
So we're really excited that Film Hub Wales and Chapter are launching a UK-wide season celebrating British animation, the past, the present and the future, and it's all kicking off here this weekend at Cardiff Animation Festival. So in terms of this weekend, there's 4 days ahead, loads of exciting things like a preview of The Breadwinner, and there's 99 animated shorts, I believe, so loads of choice for audiences. There's also an Isle of Dogs masterclass. The film's fantastic.
Yeah,
I saw it very recently. And then we're doing a nice launch itself on a Friday night with some lovely speakers, including Joanna Quinn, the British Film Institute. So it's really just to celebrate kicking that off. And then basically the programme goes on the road. We're working with around 40 different cinemas, film festivals, community venues, and they're all putting on fantastic animation programmes from April through to November. So loads of things, again, to look forward to. Scratch and sniff screenings, audiences can smell their way through. We did that with Matilda last year for Roald Dahl on film, and it was fantastic. Yeah. So I hugely recommend
that. How does
that
even work?
Well, it's basically, it's sort of very 80s, 90s, you know, TV. And they would have a large scratch card, and you have usually numbers 1 to 10, and under each of those numbers there will be a nice smell, or a not-so-nice smell. And then the venue actually, in the screening, they will hold up numbers on when you scratch and sniff your smell.
Yeah.
And it will correspond to what's going on in the film.
So is this aimed at kids, really, that one?
Actually, all ages really seem to enjoy Scratch and Sniff. It's a good family experience.
But
we do find that actually the grown-ups enjoy it just as much as our younger audiences. So it's all good fun.
It really is fantastic. So going back to a sort of fundamental question then, Hannah, what is the rationale behind having this celebration? I know this maybe sounds a daft question, but...
Not at all. I think, you know, we've got a really vivid history of animation in Britain, dating back to the 1900s. You know, in Wales, we play a big part in that story. Jerry the Troublesome Tyke in the 20s. As I said, Joanna Quinn, fantastic female animators. Yeah. We've got Cloth Cat, we've got the Animortal Studios. And I think this is just a really opportune time with new releases like the Isle of Dogs, Aardman's Early Man. With these new films coming out, it's a time to sort of reflect on the past of British animation, where we are today and where we could possibly go in the future. But I think it's just making sure that we celebrate it fully, really, and that we're bringing it back to the screen and putting a spotlight on it, really. It's just a great opportunity.
So therefore, how important is it to sort of attract new audiences and or make people aware? Because I think animation is in the public consciousness, but I don't think it's maybe at the front, so it's maybe seen as a sort of specialist thing. But actually, it doesn't take long to think about it and think, well, actually it permeates a lot of our culture, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think, you know, back to your childhood, there's probably a great deal of animations that you grew up with that maybe you just perhaps...
I grew up with rhubarb and custard.
Well, exactly, yeah. Mine was Trapdoor, and things like that. Yeah. Fantastic animations, and so many of them British. And I think it's just remembering that actually how diverse it is. So if you think of pop culture, you know, cult cinema, but also, your childhood classics, it does essentially appeal to all ages.
Yeah.
It is really important, though, that we attract new audiences, but it's just inviting people to take a chance on something that, you know, they may not have heard of, or actually, really good classic films like Animal Farm or When the Wind Blows that I'm sure we all look back on and
that's what
really
I'm saying.
Enjoy.
I think they're in our consciousness far more than perhaps we would give credit for.
I really do believe that. Just going through this planning period as a team here, it's been really enjoyable to think about all the things that we enjoyed as children. And then, as I said, all these fantastic new releases that are coming through. It's a really, really exciting season ahead.
What is it about animation? Because it can make you laugh, it can make you cry, it can be really moving and powerful, can't it? What is it about animation that does that to us?
I think it's the ability of animation to bring characters to life on screen, but it's in a unique way. I think, you know, if you think to films like Ethel and Ernest, which is a Raymond Briggs adaptation, hugely powerful, incredibly emotional film. But I think it's the diversity of it. It's the fact that it can do so many things, but it, as an art form, it's completely unique. And I think that's the power of film in general. It's that experience of film that can make us do all those things, laugh, cry.
It's mad, isn't it? It's very powerful on every level, really. What are you personally looking forward to this weekend?
This weekend, I'm looking forward to the shorts. And there's an Isle of Dogs masterclass, so those would be great. But as I said, they've got the Breadwinner, which is a special preview, and there's 99 animated shorts, so there's going to be
so much going on, isn't
there? Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The programme is online, so people can go and have a look and see what they fancy.
And, sorry, it's a bit of a cliche question, what's your all-time favourite animated film?
That is a really good question. I really love Song of the Sea, and as I said, in terms of television, Trapdoor is a favourite. It's not British, but I do love the Moomins and those sort of Nordic animations. I've got quite a few, I think, but I only watched Song of the Sea recently, and it's sort of what you were saying about sort of the power of animation. I was sort of transfixed to the screen for the whole time. Such a, you know, tears, laughter. Yeah. It's just a fantastic film.
It is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
One final one from me, Hannah. I just wanted to... It seems like a bit of a coup for Chapter to sort of kick it all off. How central is Chapter and Cardiff to animated film?
It's really important. It's long been known as a home for animation here in Cardiff. I've mentioned a few of the people already, you know, like Cloth Cat and Joanna, and they've been developing this skill and craft for so many years.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is that they all work worldwide. So they're really putting Wales on the map as a cornerstone for animation film culture. And in terms of Chapter, you know, Chapter is the Film Hub Wales lead organisation. So as a team, I can collectively speak for us to say that we're so proud that we can launch here with all the history of animation here in Cardiff. But delighted that then so many locations, so many audiences across the UK have a chance to get involved and hear the Welsh story, but actually also, yeah, celebrate British animation overall.
That is tremendous. Well, Hannah Lewis of Film Hub Wales, thank you so much for joining me on the Cardiff podcast, and good luck for the weekend. It sounds tremendous.
Thank you very much. Come and join us.
I can't recommend enough. People should really come down and take a look. So there we go.
Follow the journey online. We're at animateam.co.uk. You can get an idea of all the lovely films that are screening.
Great stuff. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Well, that's the first Cardiff podcast special in the can, as my new animation chums would doubtless say. It's going to be a brilliant weekend with something for everyone, and the masterclasses sound unmissable. You've got 99 short films to enjoy, so you really are spoilt for choice, so I hope you can get along and enjoy this innovative festival. There's loads of information online. You can go to Chapter's website, which will tell you all about it, but also Animateen have their own website too, which is www.animateen.co.uk. Now, Animateen, if you don't know, is spelled A-N-I-M-1-8. So there we go, animateen.co.uk. But for now, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that Cardiff podcast special.